What's up, guys? Welcome back to my podcast, Off the Walls. It's been a while. I think the last episode was September. I've gotten very busy these days, and so I have some free time, and I decided to record an episode because a friend of mine back in the U.S. reminded me to continually do this more, and maybe it can be therapeutic. It would be good to talk about some things that's been happening. So let's get into it. I don't have anything specific in mind. I think this is sort of more of an update. Maybe I can talk about spirituality from my experiences and kind of what my journey has been so far. I think, I don't know. I think the last thing I was talking about was is traveling safe for women. And then I can, I guess, go into some of the experiences while I was traveling and stuff. And so whenever I flew from Charleston to New York, I visited my friend Nora in New York for about 5 days. And then I flew to Bangkok, and I had a layover in Wuhan. I think it was like 8 or 10 hours. And then I flew from Wuhan to Bangkok. And I remember feeling so scared and stuff, and so doubtful. I was like, what am I doing? This was my first time traveling by myself. And I was thinking that it might have been a big mistake. And so in general, I think this has been the best experience of my life. So let's dive into it. So August 1st is when I left from Charleston to New York. And I was kind of sad to leave my friends. I had made some of my best friends, or the best people that I connected really well with through dancing, and then play volleyball, and then just really got to like work and play and enjoy. It was definitely the best summer of my life. And so then I went to New York and kind of saw New York. It was nice. I did a bunch of photo shoots with Nora because she's a photographer and I am also one. Kind of wish that I had my laptop now because it's actually broken. But that's besides the matter. Bangkok was... I didn't stay in the main part of Bangkok. It was very much like the touristy part. I kind of didn't stay there. I stayed about 45 minutes from there, and then I stayed about 10 minutes away from the airport. It was my first time couch surfing. And if you don't know, couch surfing is kind of like this like app or website that kind of lets you stay with local people in the area, and they usually show you around the place, they host you, and it's such an amazing experience. I met so many amazing people, and I was very lucky to have met so many amazing people. I think I only had like one bad experience with couchsurfing. The rest were amazing. I think starting like Bangkok was the only place I couchsurfed. I guess I should have did more research with couchsurfing. I don't know why I didn't. It would have saved me a lot more money, actually. But money is not besides the point. I think the more, as I reflect back on my time in Bangkok and in Thailand, I realized that there were many, many parts that I felt kind of lonely. Like, as a solo traveler, and especially as somebody that, like, I've never done this before, I was a bit scared and apprehensive, and I was a bit unsure of myself. And the more I started traveling, the more I went to places. I think part of solo traveling or traveling in general, you're trusting that you're paying what you're getting, and that's one of the things about traveling, which is quite interesting. Because I met a lot of amazing people, but there were many moments that I felt very alone, or I think it was more my mental idea of being lonely, because I struggled for a very long time with feeling like, oh, I was a bit scared of ending up alone, and then I'm now, like, the version of who I am now, like, a year and a half later, I like being by myself. I like spending time by myself. It's nice. It's nice to just like watch comedy by myself and just read and play music, but also still enjoy being around people. It just made me open up and understand the value and what type of people I want to surround myself with. So yeah, that's my biggest shift, and then also the fact that I consider myself to be an aspiring and spiritual aspirant, a spiritual person. But back to what I was talking about was that just like Thailand was just a vacation, and I was treating it like a vacation. It was nice. I met some really cool people when I was in Khao Suk. I met some cool British people when I was in Pai, and I got drunk a few times, which was, I think I got drunk like twice or three times, and that was pretty much it. For me, this trip wasn't about really drinking or indulging on like drugs or alcohol. It was more of just, I guess, enjoying my vacation, and it was sort of like a reward for being able to finish university. And so I wanted to kind of do that. And it was, I think, part of the end of my time in Bangkok, I had there was many moments I remember that my host, I was like, she was so lovely. But when I first was like getting there, my friend Tati was like, send me, I sent her the address or I sent another friend the address, and she was like, this place doesn't exist. And I was like, what? Am I gonna get robbed and kidnapped? I don't know. And then I got there, and she was super nice. It's like basic accommodations, and when I stayed with her, that was the first time I washed my clothes by hand. So that was a very interesting experience. And I was calling my friend McKenna all the time, and I was calling my friend Kai all the time, and a few other people in my life, and I was just like, I need the assurance and the validation that this isn't a mistake, and this isn't crazy, and I shouldn't come back to the U.S. and come back home, like, right away. And so for that week, I was trying to kind of find my feet, and I remember there was a local temple that I went to go visit, and I was even scared to cross the street in Bangkok. I was like, it was something, it's interesting how much fear holds us back, but then we realized that fear is just illusionary thing that's made up from our ego. And there's this quote that I think it's from Eckhart Tolle. He says, the reason we have fear is the annihilation of the ego. What is happening? I don't know if somebody's fighting or sneezing. Either way, that's problematic. sorry. But yeah, so fear is the annihilation of the ego. And so the ego doesn't want to be like consciously detached or to transcend, but because it holds on to everything, fear, shame, all the negative feelings, it holds on to those things very tightly, because therefore it still lives. And if you take away all the negativity and all the bad things about your own ego and you detach from it, you feel liberated, you feel free. And I think human beings, we're not meant to feel like we're free and in that way, in that much peace and tranquility that we in the world, basically. And so I remember I was just scared to cross the street, and it took me forever to cross the street, actually, because I'm the type of person, I'll wait when the car is 100 meters away, and then I'll cross and I'll run, even though the cars are not that close, and I will still run. And I was walking down the street. As I'm walking down the street, I see the some shops and stuff, and I'm just walking by. I cross this bridge that has a lot of these lilies on top, and eventually I get to this local temple, and it's a bit barren. I'm not seeing anybody. I'm just wandering around, which, honestly, I don't know if you're allowed to just wander around a temple. I don't know. I feel like you can. It doesn't seem like it's a bad thing. I feel like they're pretty open places. And so I'm walking around trying to find out if one of the monks or somebody speaks English. And I asked one person, and they're like, they barely speak any English. It's mostly Thai. And then they got a monk that speaks kind of like really, really bad and broken English. And he shows me around, and he takes me around the area and stuff. It's like this campus temple area, and it's very interesting. It's very interesting how he was talking a lot about death and how in that temple area, like, they respect death a lot. So you see all this walls of people that have died and stuff. And so we walk around the whole place, and then we go into the main temple, and he teaches me one of the like chants or something. It's basically you bow down and then you say this chant thing. I don't remember exactly, but it was very nice. And then I got to ask him a few questions, and it was just a nice experience. I've never been just out of my comfort zone so much. And I think that was part of the reason I wanted to travel, was as much as I love my time in Charleston, I realized that we have to grow. Like, if we don't grow, we become stagnant. And some people like to be stagnant, but for me, I realized a long time ago that being stagnant is not my thing. And yeah, just the more I realized that I want to do something that makes me uncomfortable. I think there's another quote that says, adversity and change is what we need to evolve. Otherwise, we become, like, what do we really become as human beings if we don't have adversity or change or something that helps us grow? And so I eventually left the temple, and I was just trying to take everything in. Got the monk to take a few pictures of me, and then I left. I was walking back, and I was still very nervous to cross back the same street. And I was just trying to take everything in, because sometimes when we're in a place, or personally speaking, when I'm in a place, it sometimes feel like I'm not, my mind hasn't fully grasped the reality of me being in that place. Like, and so eventually I would leave, and then I go back to my couch surfing host place. And it took me forever to cross back the streets, because it's like two streets. One is going one direction, one is going the other direction, and there's like this middle part. And so I'm just trying to cross from the one side to the middle, from the middle to the other side. And I'm just walking past all these restaurants and Thailand has so much. A lot of their food is based off of like beef, chicken, a lot of protein. So I'm just walking past all these different restaurants. People are staring at me, and I don't know what to say because I'm not saying anything to anybody. And I'm just listening, and I'm just trying to observe and take everything in. Eventually, I get back to my host's place, and it was very interesting. I think one of the first things was that I learned that I think we can take baby steps, especially when we're in an unknown place. Slowly, I think I stayed with her name. My host name was Dream. I stayed with her for, I think, 5 or 6 days. And then she took me to the local market. We saw, and then we went to a faraway market. And there was one time, I remember I thought that she was going to rob me. I was like, am I getting robbed? Because she wasn't picking up. And she didn't meet at the designated time. And I was like, am I getting robbed? Because all my stuff and all my money, everything was at her apartment. But that was just all outlandish, and my mind went to the worst case scenario. And so, yeah, we eventually went to this like really cool night market. Like, it was just imagine like there's no walking space. Like, somebody's right behind you, somebody's right in front of you, and this is how it is everywhere. And it was this huge market. And just checking out a bunch of different shops and food. And Thailand had so much street food, and I love Thai street food. Like, I love street food in general. I don't like going to like super posh restaurants or something that's like, it's just the experience is so magnetic on the streets, and it just creates a different kind of energy. And I remember just like walking, sweating, just trying to get through all these different crowds. We're going to eventually this bar on the roof, and she's drinking. And I don't really drink. This was, I think I drank twice when I was in Thailand. And that was, I think that was much later, towards the end of my month in Thailand. And so, like, she's getting some beer, and I'm just chilling, trying to take everything in. And then eventually we meet up with some other friends, other couch surfers and backpackers and stuff. And so I'm just trying to meet people, and I remember this one lady, I was telling her all my doubts about traveling. She was like, you know what? Like, stop worrying about everything. It's gonna work out okay. And it's crazy because there's a part of me that remembers some of her words, and I have terrible memory, so I don't remember the rest. But in general, it was just, sometimes I realized, like, whatever I planned, because I only planned to go backpacking for 3.5 months, 4 months max, I think. And then I was going to go back to the U.S. And a year and a half later, I'm just still here. I'm in India at the moment, in Kerala. And this has been the best experience of my life. So nothing I could ever plan would have been as good as what has passed. But anyways, I remember on my last day in Bangkok, I guess the main thing I'll talk about today is the idea of attachment. So I kind of set up this whole thing about when I was in Thailand, I was always very attached to my hair because I felt like it kind of helped, made me feel good as a person. Like, oh, I got a lot of compliments about my hair and I loved my hair. And then I realized at the end of my time in Bangkok, I decided to shave my hair off. And I thought it was so crazy because, and I think inside I was probably crying. I was like shedding tears from my hair, which is a weird thing. But it was the most liberating thing I was doing, basically. And I think it also made it confusing for a lot of Thai people, because they all thought I was a Thai boy. I was from Thailand and I was a boy, so that was also a lot of fun to deal with. I remember I met this Palestinian woman, and she invited me. We got on quite well. She invited me to a club. And Thailand, like, prostitution is legal or illegal. I don't know. It's like illegal, but the government's not gonna arrest people because it's like a $1 billion industry in Thailand. Like, tourism is, it's crazy. And I remember, like, I was in a club and I was supposed to meet up with my friend Bara, and this lady comes up to me and she's like, "Where are you from?" And I was like, "America." And she was just like so forward. I will always remember the experience because it's just such a strange thing, because to this day, I don't know if she was a prostitute or she was actually interested in me, because for me, I'm not the clientele. I don't have money. I can give you pennies, and I can make you laugh. That's pretty much what I can do. But no, Bangkok was a good experience. I liked it. It wasn't in the busy area. I visited Chinatown by myself, but I went too late because I think I left Dream's apartment way too late, and then it was, yeah. So I just ended up eating on this side of the street. I took some pictures, and it was very interesting. But anyways, I was talking about the attachment to my hair. So my last day I was leaving Bangkok, or my last day there, the next day I was leaving from Bangkok to one of the islands. I remember I think it opened my perspective, because the attachment to, like, the physical things about us, like the fact that hair or earrings or something that either adds or subtracts from our looks in any way or form, we hold so much value to it. And for me, I held a bunch of value to like my physical aspect of how I saw myself. And so it was hard. I remember I took a video of me getting my hair cut and buzzing off, and it was a part of me. It's, when I reflect back on that video and reflect just in general, it's quite interesting to see the dichotomy of like how much, like, I put so much value in this one aspect of me, but then it doesn't make me who I am. It adds to it, but I think the more important thing is I'm what I learned now is how much what's inside, because I mean I learned that people say the inside matters more than the outside, and I'm like, yeah, but then also the outside matters, you know, but I never really put that much merit to it. I believed in most of it. Like, I believed the inside of a person, like who they are on the inside matters more than who the outside, but I also wanted to be a bit pragmatic and was like, yeah, the outside does matter as well. Because society tells us it matters. And so I think it's part of this idea of bit, I think it's a bit brainwashing, because or conditioning, I guess would be a better term, of just how society conditions us to view ourselves in a specific way, to align ourselves and kind of put us in these boxes, and it kind of separates us, and that's, it's not a good thing. And I remember after, I was just like, it was very liberating. It was liberating because something I held so much value, and I cared, and I was also like running my hands through my hair all the time. It was super annoying. Then now I only you only see my forehead, and it did make me more self-conscious, because I realized, I was like, is my face round? And then that part made me more self-conscious than before, because I felt that the reason I had like my hair was a bit longer and stuff, or longish for me, was to kind of offset, like to make sure my face didn't look like a donut or something. And so yeah, but I think eventually it that was one of the first steps that helped me feel more liberated in my own physical body. And so yeah, I think attachments is just a really interesting thing. It's easy to get attached to things that have no meaning or have nothing in value, but it's I think a part of it is getting identified with those things, because it helps us kind of figure out who we are as people. But yeah, all right, I think I've been talking for a while, so I'm gonna end this part for a bit, and then I'll do more next time. Thanks for checking in, I guess, or listening. I don't know who's all listening, but if you like it, share it. If you don't, share it. I guess, I don't know. Excuse me.